Founded in 1991 by patients, the FSHD Society is the largest grassroots network of FSHD patients, their families, and research activists. The FSHD Society offers a community of support, news, and information for the millions of people affected by FSHD worldwide. This is FSHD Society Radio. Welcome all to the FSHD Society Radio Show. We are live here on YouTube. Hope you are finding us pretty well. I know we've adjusted and changed here in 2021 from Facebook to YouTube. And this is our second show, though, of the year. So hopefully people are starting to get used to finding us in a new platform, in a new place. And we welcome you in today. If you want to get in touch with the show, you can do so via email if you'd like, fshdradio@fshdsociety.org. You can actually use that before, you know, now during the show or after the show. If you have follow-up questions or just want to get in touch with me, that's always open, of course. And use the YouTube little chat there. I'm always scrolling and taking a peek and seeing if you have some questions or comments that you want to post either for myself or, more importantly, for our guest each month on our show is always encouraged, because this show is really not about me talking about, you know, the stuff I want to talk about. This is about you. This is about our community having a great place that we can all join together and meet some phenomenal guests. And if it's scientists or advocates or other FSHers to share their story, we want you to be a part of that. We want you to engage and join in. That's really what this is all about today. If you missed last month's episode, you can still find that on fshdsociety.org. It was with a country music singer, and she talked about the song that she wrote about her father who has FSHD, and that was Mayrin Taylor. She was a lot of fun, and that was our YouTube debut, so it was good to have a guest like that. And I honestly, I've always admitted this, I'm not a huge country music fan, but she was a great guest. And if you happen to miss it, like I said, you can still find it on YouTube, or if you'd like audio as well, all the places you can find podcasts, not only that episode, but all the previous are out there either on Spotify or Stitcher or pretty much anywhere you can find podcasts, you'll find the show. Just search FSHD Radio or FSHD Society Radio. Today's guest, though, is Sue. Somebody see her, Sue Drescher. She's already ready to go on Zoom, and I don't want to leave her sitting too long. I think we were starting to get listeners to start, and watchers for that matter, I guess, starting to come aboard the show. And today we're going to talk with Sue Drescher, who has a great FSHD story and how it's affected her family, but also what they're doing about it. Very big advocates in our community. Some might know her and are on board on this show, and some might just be meeting her for the first time. So either way, we welcome them, and we welcome in Sue. So hi, Sue. How are you doing? Thanks for being here.
Hi. Thank you, Tim. Doing well. Thank you very much. Good now, to be here.
Yeah, it's awesome to have you. You are a very popular person in FSHD Society's world. You do a lot of great work for our community. Always willing to lend a hand or check in. I know I get some messages from you, check in and see how things are going way out here in the north of Wisconsin here. And it's always nice to see that. And I think that I'm not the only person you do that for. I think it's awesome how you reach out to people and check in and keep our community together and coming up with amazing ideas of how to keep our group even more tight-knit. And we're going to talk about some of those things. But first, for those that kind of don't know who you are a little bit, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and kind of introduce yourself?
Okay. I'm Sue Drescher, and my husband is Kent Drescher, and we are the coordinators for the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area chapter for FSH Society. And we have a great group out here in California. We try and meet quarterly. We've been kind of off on that with the COVID, but we're setting up some new meetings coming up. I am retired from tech, but I'm also now a consultant, so I'm still working. So much for retirement. And my husband Kent is the FSH patient in our family. We don't have anyone else in the family that we know of that has the disease, but he was diagnosed in his early 30s.
Okay.
And we have two boys who are now in their early 30s, and one has been tested and is negative, and the other doesn't show any signs yet. So we're waiting on that to see if he gets tested.
Yeah.
We've been married 45 years, and so we've known each other a long time through this journey, and I'm happy to be here to talk about what we're doing for other people in this same kind of situation too.
What was that time like when your husband was getting diagnosed and kind of going through that part from your perspective? You know, we hear a lot from the perspective of the patient, but not too often do we get the perspective from the spouse, you know, or, you know, the life partner or other family members for that matter that are kind of right in it with them.
Mm-hmm. It was an interesting time. We lived in Boise at that time, and we had our one son. He was just months old, 6 or 7 months old, I think. And Kent had been playing racquetball and came home and said, I don't know why I can't. I banged my elbow. I got to go see the doc. I can't stretch my hand. And that's how we got connected with our neurologist in Boise, and he was diagnosed at that time. For me, it was a very big, scary thing because we'd never heard of anybody with this form of muscular dystrophy. And everybody at that time, anybody that we talked to in the family or anywhere else would say, oh, you mean like Jerry's kids? And
right.
Which is the Duchenne form of muscular dystrophy, not the same as FSH. So it was different and we were learning about it, but then life went on and Kent's progression was very slow. So I was very thankful for that all the time. And he was a big athlete. He did a lot of cycling and played sports. So that didn't change rapidly. That took a long time. So we were okay. And the doctor at that time told us he thought Kent caught a stray gene. And because we were wondering whether we should have other children.
Yeah.
So we did have our other son and
How old are your sons now?
So my sons now are in their 30s and they have kids too. And everybody's looking good. Mm-hmm. So it could really be a stray gene. Just we didn't find any signs of FSH that we know of in any of Kent's family anywhere in the background. So there probably maybe could have been. We don't know.
Yeah, it is. It is kind of weird, right? How it not only how it affects people differently, but how it can be a spontaneous mutation or a stray gene, right? That only affects one person. And so you're going through that time, diagnosis kind of pivot your lives. But you said that it didn't affect them too much right away. So it probably was more in the back of your mind, right? That okay, we have this diagnosis. It's a little shocking at first, but if life kind of keeps carrying on for a while, but when did it get to a point where it was a little more obvious that this was becoming more of an issue?
Well, so one thing too about the first diagnosis was that it explained a few things like, oh, that's why he has the winging of his shoulder blades and those kinds of things. But as time went on, I think mainly it was being able to lift things or raise his arms, how high that could be. And it really has been very slow. And it's only within the last, so about 10 years ago, we got a Segway for Kent. If you know what the Segways are, those are those standard kind of ride around things.
Yep.
And it was great for him because he was a psychologist up at Stanford and at the VA in Palo Alto. So he could get around the big campuses with his Segway, and that was very helpful. And then after a while, the standing wasn't so safe and wasn't comfortable, so they have a seated Segway now. So we got the seat for that, and that kind of was a development over the last 5 years. And now within the last three, we do have now an electric wheelchair for him.
Okay.
That we only use really for travel or if we're getting out and he needs to go any distance. He has leg braces and that has been helpful, but a fall is really difficult.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah, the disease doesn't hold off forever. It appears and, you know, kind of rears itself, you know, at some point, and kind of get those, as my neurologist said, some of those stair falls where you're doing good for a while and then it drops and so on. So how did you guys get then involved with the FSHD Society? How did you find it, and you know, how did that all begin?
I think it began, and I'm not sure, because we know Dr. John Day at Stanford, and he is a big advocate up there, does a lot of research there. And it may be that we got a referral from friends, or that some doctor at Stanford that knew Kent referred him, something like that. And that's how we got to meet different people. And we have talked about this in the past with many people, how in all those years, so this was about 4 years ago, we had a meeting at Stanford, which was a get together kind of family day. And there were FSH people there from the society as well. And it was the very first time in all these 30 years that we had ever met anyone with FSH. And it's a shared experience that we talk a lot about with people. When you meet them, sometimes they'll say, I never met anybody with this until I came to one of these meetings or got on the FSH website or, you know, the social media. It's a big thing to walk around with something like this disease and not have anybody, you know, ever have seen it before. And often your neurologist, in fact, or your doctor may not have ever seen it either. And you have to really educate them more. So that's a challenge as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I know it's very a powerful moment, I think, when you meet somebody else that has it, for everybody, you know, the patients, the family. Yeah, it was similar for me too when I went to the Chicago chapter meeting and never met anyone that had it before. And it's amazing how quickly you make the connection with people. You know, you never met them before, but that sure is something very common that draws you closer, and that you have something you share together so quickly. But you also have a chapter that you guys are part of. And as we all know, that the chapters are growing more and more. We're getting more of them, getting more organized. So tell us a little bit about your chapter.
Okay. We have a chapter technically on paper. We have about 300 people registered in our area. In our meetings, we have maybe 20 people most of the time. Often patients as well as family or spouses, support folks. And we meet quarterly, as I said, and we also have a lot of email going back and forth and some private meet for lunch kind of hookup things. And we have an annual, we are part of the FSH Society, so we have an annual fundraiser with the rest of the chapters around the country. And we have a family day yearly at Stanford with Dr. John Day. We have partnerships with several of the pharmacy companies and researchers like Peter Jones, Dr. Peter Jones up in University of Nevada in Reno, who's doing great research on this.
Yeah, that's good, because your area is nice, right? I mean, the Bay Area, you're getting 300 people, 20-some are coming to the meetings and kind of connecting. And of course that probably helps, I would imagine, then, for like the walk and rolls and all the other events that you're talking about, to have a little more of that participation.
Right. Right. And this year, because of COVID, we had very limited, but we did several virtual meetings and, we did a very fun holiday kind of party meeting, with all of California at the same time, the chapters in San Diego with Amy Becker and, different areas of California, we all got together at the same time. That was cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
But you guys didn't stop there, or you didn't stop there. So you didn't stop at just the Bay Area, you know, group that you wanted to do. You take it another step further, which is really the space we wanted to talk into, you know, talk about today, is that the caregiver, sharegiver hour that you've helped start. Tell us about the idea, where did all that come from, and, you know, the first seeds being planted in that idea.
Okay. That first day that we met everybody at Stanford with Dr. Day, and we had family members, and everybody was doing, when everybody gets together, it's a big comparison too. It's, sorry, I've got the dry throat.
That's okay.
Several people all talking about what kind of wheelchair do you have and where did you get your braces and all the things that we all share. And there are also family and support people that we've come to call not just caregivers, but sharegivers. And Kent and I are also on one of the FSH committees called for the mental health and wellness. And some of the people in there had this great idea. Let's call it sharegivers, because the patient isn't the only one that benefits from having a relationship with someone who's helping take care. There is a benefit for both people, and we share so much of that.
Because when you're talking about this group, this is targeted for those people taking care of the patient, the family member, the spouse. And in my opinion, sometimes they get a little bit forgotten about, that this is also difficult, very difficult to cope with sometimes. So I think it's awesome that this is something that you've helped start. Who are the other people involved within the group?
The way that this came about was, I was really touched by how many family people, especially after a meeting, will hang out and talk about how are you, how are the kids, how's everybody dealing with this, what are you doing at home, that kind of thing. So in our Chicago meeting for the leadership of FSH Society a couple of years ago, I got talking with Kathy Senecal, who is one of the chapter leaders back east, and with Susie Allmiller, who also is one of the chapter leaders and board person. And several of us got talking about, you know, we have all these folks who are taking care of FSH people or our family members. They really are in need for some support too. So maybe we should think about that. So we really got talking about it, and then we got talking about it with Mark Stone and different FSH society leadership. And last summer, we did a survey about what are some of the issues for caretakers, caregivers, sharegivers for FSHD patients, family, spouses, children. We have a lot of people that are parents of kids with FSH as well. It's not just spouses in our caregiving group. We have families where there is a woman who takes care of her husband with FSH as well as her grown son. And we have parents of teenagers with the disease who don't want to talk about it, as well as really exceptional but severely affected FSH patients. We have a woman in our group who, she's a Google smart engineer person, amazing person, and her family is super supportive. And those are the kind of people that we want to help out. So we got talking about this and formed with June Kinoshita, the caregiver-sharegiver hour that we have monthly now.
Yeah, that's where it really evolved to. I mean, that... You grew a group out of this, that this is a place where now those caregivers, sharegiver, can come together and talk about this. I was very honored to be invited into one of them, because for those that are listening, you know, it's, I don't want to say it's not necessary, and Sue can probably talk more on this part of it, that it's not necessarily for patients. It's not like you're not allowed, but you want to be very, you know, respectful of those that are coming in to talk about this disease that are the caregivers. So tell us a little bit about that side of it, Sue, a little bit. You know, that it's not that patients aren't invited, but this is more geared towards, you know, the caregiver.
So a good way to talk about that is an example of our first meeting, which is we've only had three of the caregiver meetings so far.
Okay.
And the first one, we had a couple of people come on who are patients, and they talked about if you don't want me to be here, please let me know, because we want to create a safe space for people to share good and bad stories, tips on what's working well right now in COVID or isolation. How did you deal with getting the shot? That kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And so what we've done in these meetings is kind of go around and say, so how's it going? Mm-hmm. What's going on with you guys? And I can tell you, in that very first meeting, we were maybe 5 minutes in and there wasn't a dry eye on the screen, because we are sharing really deep, heartfelt stories that are happening in our lives in this moment because of this disease. And to be supportive of each other is the goal. And to offer not just mental support, emotional support, an ear for listening, someone who knows what you're talking about, or at least has an idea, because this disease does have a big spectrum. You know, not everybody's in a wheelchair. Some are with walkers, some with a cane. Some children are severely affected from infant on. And then some have speech effect. You know, there are a lot of different things about this disease. So some of us are cooking and waiting on people. Right now during COVID, it's been a particularly challenging time for those who usually have occupational therapist, physical therapist, or help at home coming in usually. Mm-hmm. But during COVID, because of shutdown, we've been limited or not being able to have that. Those people come into our house. Right. That has severely affected a lot of people who are really on their own. And it not only is a mental impact, but also physical, because if you're not up doing the things you need to be doing to keep the muscles you have working, that's going to have an impact long term.
Absolutely. So, absolutely.
So, for our meetings, if we have folks that really want to share and other folks that are patients, we can set up different rooms too. You know, you can always do that. But so far, we haven't had to do that. We haven't felt or gotten feedback from anyone yet saying, I really can't talk if those guys are here.
Yeah.
If the patient's in the room, I really need them to go. Or, you know, because I think then we will address that if that happens.
Yeah, because it can be kind of a sticky situation. You don't want it to come across as we're complaining about those people, right?
Yes, right. Exactly.
You know, we don't want it to be. We want it where it's a safe place. I know you mentioned that, Sue, where it's a safe place for people to kind of say what they want to say, not necessarily being judged for it, but they're looking for help. And I don't think anybody's being mean-spirited in there, but you have to unload sometimes. I can only imagine that the burden, and you feel like you're all alone. This is a great lifeline for people to use. Have you had, I mean, you kind of touched, I guess, a little bit on some of the stories. I know one, when you and I chatted yesterday before the show, you talked about a son that's the challenges of having like a 15-year-old son with FSHD. And then, you know, what does a typical 15-year-old, you know, kid want to go do, right? He probably wants to get his driver's license or those kind of things. And I found it very interesting how those are things I would never have thought of. Have you found that this is helping people where a problem occurs, what maybe they would not have thought would be an issue, right? And all of a sudden it is, or it's something they have to deal with and they're looking for the group to kind of help with support.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And this happened about 3 years ago in our international conference in Vegas. We had a mental health kind of an afternoon with a few of the people who are psychology experts. Mm-hmm. And in that room, there were people who are parents or siblings of someone who is the patient. And they needed to share and they needed to find, where do I get psychological support? For example, my son doesn't want me to say FSHD anywhere around him or ever talk about this disease and doesn't want to come to any meeting or anything. And this kind of a conference, how do we do that? Mm-hmm. And what we found too is that if you open some kind of a forum for those folks, those kids, those teenagers who just want to talk to other teenagers, you know,
right.
With we have groups that we set up like that when we've had our conferences too. And so this is just another part of that. And, you know, there are people that can kid around and say, I told my husband to go in the other room and stay in there because I want to talk about, you know, da, 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 da.
Yeah.
But there are serious issues as well. You know, we have folks that have a patient who's just, because they're in pain, they're having some abuse, substance abuse stuff, they're drinking, or they're just getting obnoxious, or they're so angry.
Right.
And then the caregivers as well. I've had, you know, some sharing time with folks saying, I am so angry at what this has done to us. You know, I had no idea how this was going to impact our lives. And,
It sounds like some really deep, you know, deep subjects that people are kind of touching on. What's been then the response, the impact that you've received, even though you've had maybe only three, but I'm sure that there's been some feedback from the people, if not during the group or maybe after.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, one thing was when we hadn't met yet when we did the survey, and then we sent the survey out, we had really great response on that. And that showed some of the issues like how isolation is hitting us and those kinds of things. So then when we got together to meet about it, after each meeting, I get emails from folks and we have great conversations on the phone. And there are also people who will call in and say, I'm not near any kind of chapter. How can I connect with someone? Mm-hmm. What are some resources that we could offer that kind of information as well? A lot of great positives. I don't want to leave this in a negative cloud, you know, because so many people are saying, thank you so much, because it's not just, I never met anybody with this disease. It is, here's someone else who is also a caregiver or a sharegiver for a spouse or child or sibling or parent or all of the above. Some people have more than one, you know, in their home, and, to talk with other people and get resources and support from each other has been a huge strength, I think, of this.
Yeah, it's man, it's just, I just can't get past the fact that almost like this is so needed. And I've been with the society for, you know, what, 4 years ish, five, whatnot. And I almost feel irritated with myself. Like, why did I not ever look, you know, for a platform, for instance, with my wife, like maybe she needs this. Yeah. Sometimes I get so caught up with, oh, my muscles are sore, or I can't do that anymore. And I kind of forget sometimes to go, well, I wonder how she's doing, you know, seeing this play out. I think it's awesome to have a place for people to go to talk about it, meet, have that connection. Very similar to when you meet someone that has FSHD for the first time. Well, this is the other side of it, you know? It's beautiful. I think it's a great idea. How has the community grown? I mean, have you seen it grow over the, you know, from the first now to the third one that you've had?
Yes. And it's interesting because we've had about 12, 14 people in each meeting, and it has been a solid same five folks and then different people coming in and out. So especially with the holidays, we met like right after Christmas. Even then, we had about 10, 11 people, and a couple were people who had been for each meeting before, and then the majority were, I've never been in here before, but I wanted to check this out. So,
right.
Yeah. So I believe it is a very much growing community, and I'm excited to see what's gonna be.
Yeah, absolutely. How about like the adaptability like hacks or what people kind of do? And kind of like tricks. Now, you mentioned a little bit, even with the isolation, probably people saying, well, this is how we're coping with this or that. Does that get spread around a little bit too? You know, like how are people tackling as the disease progresses, makes its progression? How do they adapt?
Yeah, we talk a lot about adaption as far as, well, adaptability vehicles. That's a big
that's
subject
a big
all
one.
The time.
Yeah.
That's a big subject when FSH folks get together in general. Mm-hmm. But it's also a big one for the caregivers because often we're going to be the drivers or we're going to be getting a vehicle that's adaptable for each person in the family. Mm-hmm. And then there's adaptability in your home, which is a huge thing. And we have great resources on that. I know we have an upcoming, webinar on that.
I think so. Yes, I believe we do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
that's coming up on the news and notes, people. Yeah.
those are the things that people will say. So how's it coming along with your kitchen? What are you doing? You know, and so, oh, we lowered the countertops and who's the builder and that kind of stuff that's close, you know, in our chapters. But also, I think that's going to be a very big topic for caregiving as well. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the things that we have spoken with much of the leadership of FSH about, some kind of resources for everybody, some kind of a center page or something where you can go and, you know, say, I am looking for someone in this state, in fact, California or Oklahoma or whatever. And who has, you know, some of us have really wonderful, we have a really great adaptability expo, which of course we couldn't have because it was virtual this year. So that makes a difference.
But yeah,
those kinds of things are great resources for everyone. And to have a place where we could go and say, who's got the best on the leg braces, or who's got the best on chairs, depending on the level of a chair you need, or the scooter you need, or, you know, whatever it is you need. People need hearing aids. Some people are affected. Their hearing is affected with FSH. Right. There's all kinds of things that, you know, some of us don't think about.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Right. And I think that's what brings some of these topics to the forefront. And then it probably brings in a definitely interesting conversation, or at least puts something on someone's radar. And then they might say, oh, yeah, we were dealing with that. How did you deal with that? And it's just a great cross communication of how are you dealing with things, even if you didn't even realize something like that was going to come into play.
Right.
It's almost like a nice little forecasting in some cases. So when you deal with this, or if you have to, this is how we did it. So, yeah, it's kind of cool. Yeah, if there is like a resource page, so to speak, of I need help with this or I need help with that, and kind of send people in the right direction. How about the, and I know with the COVID situation, a lot of people are feeling isolated. But even on top of that, like you're in the Bay Area, I'm not far away from a large city either. But those that are not, have you seen some of those people come in from, you know, a more just isolated by geographically, you know, maybe it's in the middle of Montana somewhere, right? And they can't get to a large city. There's not one near them to have that community or connection. Have you come across anyone that's joined the group in that situation?
Yes. In fact, through social media, I have people contact me from like the Living with FSHD or, you know, different parents of and that kind of. And we had one woman actually called me and we had a conversation from Canada.
Wow.
And she said, I need resources up here, but I need to talk to somebody about this. My son was just diagnosed. I have no idea what this is going to be. And his doctors really don't know this. They've never seen it before and that kind of thing. And so then she dials in now to our chapter meetings because it's good for her to do. And she's hooked up and she's in the caregiver group too. Yes. So we do have people calling in from remote areas that don't have someone near them. We also have a lot of what happens on social media is we read a message and it'll be, I am so depressed or something like that. And then you start to chat with that person and find out, where are you? We know someone in that area that might be able to help, or someone that's a resource for you to touch base with. And a lot of the leaders of the chapters do that, or back and forth. We talk to each other about, did you see the, you know, somebody's post, and they must be near you and all that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all the way from to Canada. Wow. That's great.
Yep.
That's great.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, if they are close to Wisconsin, you can send them our way.
Yes.
You know, we can make sure we can
Absolutely. Call Tim.
Yeah, we need to grow our chapter. It's just small. it's not
it's
very large.
Yes,
that's right.
Okay.
Right. Well, especially when it's like -2 degrees out here, not too many people want to get out anyway, you know, and go
exactly,
do stuff. Anyhow,
right.
So virtual is always okay up here. we're talking with Sue Drescher here on the FSHD Society Radio Show. She's the part of the Bay Area chapter, but also we're really concentrating on this caregiver-sharegiver hour, When is the next one, Sue? When are you guys having the next one?
The next one is, I believe that we are scheduled for the last, I'm not sure, but I would have to check, but I think it's the last Tuesday, and you probably have the calendar.
I'm looking right now, too. Yeah. I put you on the spot. Tuesday. Yeah. It's actually, yeah, Tuesday, February 23rd. So it's not too far off. There's still one coming up this month. So that's cool. That's great. Now, do you kind of let the group navigate where the conversation's going to go, or do you ever kind of come in with a topic or something you want to kind of touch on to get the ball rolling?
So what we did to start with, of course, our kickoff meeting was just kind of what's this going to be and how it's going to go. And we talked through the survey and the survey answers. That was our topic that day. Mm-hmm. And then the next meeting, we mostly talked about what's going on with everybody because we were getting to know each other. That's part of it. And how is COVID affecting everybody and mm-hmm. how did the holidays go? Mm-hmm. That's how, you know, like I said, we've only met three times.
Right.
The idea that I have talked with June Kinoshita about, and Sue Miller and I are co-leading this caregiver group, is to kind of have time. And yes, we do coordinate the meeting. Yes, I do navigate it for them. So it's kind of go around the room or whoever's on the Zoom screen. If they would like to share, how are you doing? You know, mm-hmm. take a minute, tell us where you are for one thing. And then, choose some kind of a topic or lead some kind of a topic discussion is the plan.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay. That's good. Yeah. I was just curious. Heather was like, hey, we're going to talk about this thing, but it makes more sense to kind of let people talk a little bit about what's bothering them at the moment. And that I'm sure is more than enough to feed the conversation. Do you ever feel that the hour isn't enough?
Oh yeah. Yeah. A lot of times. And that's why I really press with people that anytime you want to email me and we can set up a phone call, set up a Zoom call, whatever you'd like to do. And if you need more help with something, I can help you find out how we get that mm-hmm. or where you are. So, yeah.
Yes, you might end up becoming quite the resource that way. Like we were talking about having a resource page that might just at first be your email address to to at least start that like, connection.
Yeah, even if it's just to talk about what's going on or what you need help with, you know, mm-hmm. or how to connect with the society, because the FSA Society has great resources mm-hmm. and a lot of people on, for example, our wellness, I call them the task force, you know, they are super, super cool people who know about the psychology of a lot of stuff, how to deal with disease, how to deal with family, depression, you know, the kinds of things that a lot of people are experiencing right now. So,
yeah, it's I think it was a perfect time for you to start it because so many people were feeling very isolated, needed that connection. So the timing is perfect. But when I will say that this will pass, I know you guys as well as many others may have already received their vaccine or vaccines or, you know, starting to see the light at the end of this tunnel. So what do you see then for the future of the group as it goes? Do you ever see possibly face-to-face type meetings ever set up in addition to virtual?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. And we actually had kind of a caregiver get-together time at the end of one of the FDA days when we did those last June.
Mm-hmm.
We had kind of a hangout room, you know, to talk about this caregiver idea. And yes, I do think in person would be super cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It could be
I think
huge.
we're pretty spread out. So that might be a tough one to do, but especially if you're the caregiver, where's your patient going to be and what are they going to be doing? And,
you know. Yeah. Right. Because you still are, you still have that. One question is, we've been talking about this that always pops in to my head, you know, when people come possibly into this group and talk about their situation, do you think there's ever that feeling of guilt, like they're complaining about it?
Yes. Hmm. Yeah. And I have that myself. Hmm. I can say, you know, that I have difficulty with complainers anyway. I come from a big family. I'm the oldest of seven kids. And, you know, with my parents, it was like, have you got a solution?
Mm.
come back to me when you want to talk about how we're going to fix this or what's going on, you know, because there's so much of it. But so for me, I guess that's kind of my mindset a little bit too. But I think it's also important to have a safe place where this is one room where these people will let me just blow it off because I'm so upset about this. You know, we all hate this disease, hate it. There is nothing good about it. And to watch how it affects our loved one or ones, or to watch how our kids watch it. You know, my boys growing up, you know, saw how slow progression was for Kent. But now they're adult men and they're watching it and they're like, Mom, how can we help? You know, that kind of thing too. So there's also that spin. So yeah, I think we need a safe space to complain, and we need a safe space to get off and be mad and be okay with that. Mm-hmm. And then offer support to those people.
It's almost like a recharge their battery, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of unload some stuff and then go again, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. That's amazing. Well, thanks, Sue, for joining us and sharing some stuff. I don't want to leave anything out. Is there anything else you wanted to add? Maybe something that we didn't cover?
I think we're really good.
Good.
I love the reaching out to the group. Love my Bay Area chapter. Mm. They're a fabulous, fabulous, smart, really good, caring group. And to see the caregivers coming together and getting the hang of how we're going to do this is very positive as well. Mm. So, yeah.
Well, I appreciate you doing all you do for our caregivers, creating the Caregiver Sharegiver Hour, what you're doing in the Bay Area chapter. Your check-ins with me is always appreciated, so thank you for doing that, too. I like to see the message bubble pop up. I'm like, oh, it's Sue. One of these days, I'll catch you off guard. I'll ask you how you're doing first. We'll see how that goes. So thanks, Sue. And guys, if you want to check in with that Caregiver Sharegiver Hour, the next one's going to be Tuesday, February 23rd, Caregiver Sharegiver Hour. Be a part of that, or if you want to get in touch with Sue sooner, visit their chapter page on fshdsociety.org. You can find her email information there as well. So thanks, Sue. We'll see you. Well, who knows? We'll probably have you on again in the future, right?
Yes. Thank you. Thanks very much.
Absolutely. So that is Sue Drescher. She is having an amazing success with, you know, bringing people together. I mean, there's just really no other way to say it. And it's just one of those facets of the disease, I think, that some people forget, you know, that there's people taking care of others. It's a hard burden. It's a hard thing to deal with. It's a hard thing to carry. And you don't want to come off as complaining. We talked about that. You don't want it to be a negative experience. You want it to be something where it will be, you know, a safe place that you can say or vent your feelings that this is tough and I'm having a hard day or a hard month. And to have a place like this to go to every month, I think is hugely beneficial. So let me take a quick break. When we come back on the other side, we'll go through news events coming up more events coming up on the FSHD Society. There's quite a few big things coming up. So we want to touch on that and then we'll close up shop. You're listening to the FSHD Society Radio Show. Hi, this is Tim Hollenbach, host of the FSHD Society Radio Show, and I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the FSHD University. FSHD University is your center for advanced education about the art and science of living with FSH muscular dystrophy. The inspiration for FSHDU emerged from the success of the Sequester Camp series, which was a weekly program launched by the FSHD Society team when the COVID-19 pandemic forced widespread social distance. We will focus on these three departments on FSHD University: physical health, mental health, and research, drawing on the many resourceful, creative people in our community who have earned their MDs and PhDs in living with FSHD. Over time, we expect to establish new departments to address additional areas where we see a thirst for knowledge. Your input and suggestions are very much welcome. This is your university, the FSHD Society University. To find out more, visit fshdsociety.org. Welcome back to the show. The FSHD Society Radio Show is here live on YouTube. Thanks for being here. We were just talking with Sue Drescher, the Bay Area chapter, one of the Bay Area chapter directors, as well as someone that is taking care of our caregivers with the newly formed Caregiver Sharegiver Hour. They've had three of those events that have happened. The next one is coming up in February. So that's something that is exciting that they're going to walk into number four. And I mentioned before that I think it's a real positive experience for people to have that they kind of need that, in my opinion. Those that are taking care of those, with FSHD, we cannot forget about our caregivers. When we now talk a little bit, we're going to talk into the direction of news and events and things going on in the FSHD Society world. Already things are coming up as soon as tomorrow, so I really kind of wanted to touch on some of this stuff. One of those things is the South Carolina chapter virtual meeting will be February 10th, 8 to 9 p.m. Check that out. Saturday, February 13th, from 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern, is the Western Pennsylvania chapter meeting. Thursday, February 18th, this is a big event here. This is the, we just had an advertisement for it there. From 1 to 2 p.m., it's the FSHD University, the onset of FSH. In this webinar series, we're going to have Tina Dong on, and she will provide an overview of the current understanding on the multi-organ impact of early-onset FSHD and disease progression based on published literature of multiple natural history studies. That's going to be very interesting, folks. We will discuss outcome measures and their characteristics and characterize them, as well as the care management, clinical trial readiness, and more. So join us on February 18th, 1 to 2 p.m. for FSHD University. On the 20th, that's a Saturday, the University of Rochester Family Day, 8:45 a.m. to 2:10 Eastern. Interesting times, easy to remember, right? We're going to have Robbie Tawil on, Leo Wang, Lexi Pappas, Scott Harper, Beth Johnston, and others talking about FSHD and joining in on that family day. Some of the topics will be getting ready for upcoming clinical trials, patient advocacy, as well as what's happening in the FSHD Society community and their updates, physical therapy and FSHD. So visit, learn more, check it out, fshdsociety.org. Some more events coming throughout February. As we mentioned before, the February 23rd is going to offer that Caregiver Sharegiver Hour that Sue Drescher was on here today talking about. Hope you can join them for that. Saturday, February 27th, from 10 to 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time, Home Modifications Show and Tell, hosted by the Columbus and Greater Philadelphia Chapter. That's pretty cool. Getting ready to do some renovations, they say. Need some fresh ideas? Don't miss this show-and-tell style meeting. We'll be joined by savvy FSHers from across the country to share their own renovation successes, and everyone is welcome to contribute. There will be plenty of time of open discussion, so bring your questions, challenges, and ideas. If you have done some modifications in your home that you'd like to share, please do so. And there's a link there at FSHD Society. You just have to click there and join in. We will share these resources after the meeting so that we can continue to build on each other's knowledge. That sounds really cool. That sounds really cool. How are you adapting to your home, or what kind of adaptations maybe you need? That is huge. When I was in home care line of work in a home care medical company, there was a lot of talk of that, and they were going to shift their direction. You know, how do you get your home adapted properly as you're dealing with a disease like this, or others for that matter? So that should be an interesting topic that's happening on February 27th. Then if we move a little more forward, we into the month, we talk a little bit here about the Pacific Northwest chapter meeting. Oh, it's 12 to 1 p.m. Pacific time. They will be welcoming the new year, and their theme is active.
Kind of like cover my shirt size.
Oh, yeah, active. Awesome. We will do a recap of our leadership summit, important dates to put on your calendar for 2021, and further planning ideas. So join the Pacific Northwest chapter meeting, 12 to 1 p.m. Man, do I have not have the date? I think I failed to put the date on there. check that out at fshgsociety.org. Now we walk into March on the 8th. Monday Wellness Hour will be welcoming the new year with our theme, Activate. Wow, I think we're seeing a common theme here. Join us for that Wellness Hour on March 8th. On the 9th, to finish up what's happening throughout the FSHD Society, we will have the next FSHD Society radio show. I'll be excited to announce here that we're going to have a great guest again. That'll be Carlos Romero. He has an amazing story to tell for us over the past several years, becoming a national paraclimbing champion, and was featured in People magazine for losing 225 pounds following his FSHD diagnosis in 2012. He started his own podcast called Crappy Comics, so check that out. It's a podcast about comedy and courage. We can't wait to catch up with him. I think it's going to be an awesome, fun show. He's a comedian. I like it when people are funnier than me coming in here, because sometimes I think I'm funny and I don't think I, maybe people don't think I am. So if you want to learn more about those things and other things going on at FSHD Society, guess where you go? FSHDSociety.org is the place. So this has been a lot of fun. I really enjoy talking with Sue. She was on a couple other shows as well in the telethon, talking about Caregiver Sharegiver Hour and plugging in a little bit there. It was great to have her here today, talking in better and greater detail about what that can do for you. Once again, if you missed that interview, it's going to be posted up on YouTube, as well as past episodes, all be available where you find podcasts through fshdsociety.org, as well as Spotify, Stitcher. It's probably even on Audible now. It's like, it's growing. It's everywhere. So share the news. Tell your friends. This is a great place to resource and build our community up as we go forward. So next month, like I said, we'll have Carlos in as our next guest. And feel free to contact me between now and then. I'm here for you, fshdradio@fshdsociety.org. So until next month, thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next month on the FSHD Society show. And special thank you to Sue Drescher for being our featured guest tonight. Take care. You've been listening to the show, the FSHD Society Radio Show.